I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Zone Time is back with a fresh new episode. Rahef is here, Sam is here, and Omar from In the Mentions is also here for this week's episode. How's everyone doing? Everyone doing all right? Everyone had a good weekend? The first week of the season is behind us. These games actually matter, Omar. It's not preseason.
Listen to me. Okay, we're going to do this right off the top. Okay. Julian thinks that the preseason doesn't matter. All right? And I'll say, okay, that's fine. So let's look at the Montreal Canadiens, who only won two games in the preseason. And where are they at now? Loss, another loss, perhaps another loss. And then they're going to be facing Carolina Hurricanes and Jesperi Kotkaniemi. You're really going to tell me the preseason doesn't matter? Plus, who went off in the preseason? Michael Bunting. And who's going off now? Michael Bunting. Now, if you didn't watch the preseason, you'd be like, oh, this guy came out of nowhere. But no, I watched the preseason. I watched that hat trick. It was great. It was sweet. I watched the other goal. Four goals in the preseason, and now everything's adding up together. So the preseason matters. That's all I'm going to say.
Can we add, like, I don't know if you guys ever watched the ESPN show Around the Horn, where the occasionally mute panelists, whenever they kind of go on a little too long.
No,
you
listen.
Might need to do that for Omar going forward.
Please. No,
that's a Michael Bunting rant.
Yes, they all called me a madman. They all said, why are you putting your stake on someone who just signed out of nowhere, who has like a 26% shooting percentage? No, he's good. He's solid. I got his jersey, and I'm proud.
Omar?
Yes.
Omar, we'll get to Michael Bunting a little later on in the episode. And I realize the transition to our first topic will be a little bit awkward now, but we do have to talk about one of the bigger, if not the biggest story in the NHL right now. We have to talk about Evander Kane and his latest turn of stupidity. I'm allowed to say that, right? We're allowed to say this is stupid. I'm not going to be professional and be like, oh, his latest transgression, this latest folly that is coming. No, this was stupid. He got caught with a fake vaccination card. He got investigated by the league and he's suspended for the next 21 games. I've already been on the Yahoo Sports Hockey podcast with Justin Cuthbert and talked about how he needed to wise up. And he hasn't wised up, and now he's paying the price for it.
I mean, I was completely unsurprised. I would actually go further than what you said. I don't think it's just stupid. I actually think it's incredibly malicious and selfish. Like, to fake a vaccination card, presumably not just for the NHL. Like, he's probably been using that for other places he's been going. It's completely irresponsible. It's ridiculous that he didn't think he was going to get caught. But I guess in the long line of things that Evander Kane has done over the last year, over the course of his career, it's pretty par for the course. And I don't know how many chances you have to give someone to just show you who they are before you're like, this guy is like, does he belong in this league? Like, yeah, he's great on the ice, but he is a train wreck.
Yeah, I think personally for me, the thing that bothers me the most is that, like, Evander Kane was part of something that was so important to hockey, you know, for me as a Black man, being the Hockey Diversity Alliance. And not only was he part of it, but he was also one of the leaders. He was doing interviews. He was speaking out about the importance of diversity and awareness within hockey, about different initiatives that need to be done within the league, different things that Gary Bettman and so on need to do to make sure that different people's stories and different things are kind of put to light. And then now I just feel like it taints that, right? And it shouldn't, because it's a completely different conversation. But I feel like it might. And now we're at a moment where before the Hockey Diversity Alliance was talked about a lot, and now we barely even bring it up, to the point where I think a lot of people even forgot that it was a thing in the first place. And I hope we don't get to a point where, you know, because Evander King was affiliated with the Hockey Diversity Alliance, that it's completely swept under the rug. But now there's the built-in excuse. Right. Some people might be like, oh, okay, well, why should we support something that Evander Kane did? Evander Kane did this and this and this and this and this. And it's just a built-in excuse. And that's where I'm kind of at. Obviously, everything that Sam said was completely bang on. It's stupid. It's selfish. It's dangerous. Right. Especially when we're at a point where we're trying to get back to a level of normalcy, and this just sets everything back. But it's just, I can't help not think about this story and what Evander Kane's tie to the Hockey Diversity Alliance, and, you know, kind of how maybe a lot of those messages and stories are a little tainted now.
Yeah. Rahaf, I don't know if you wanted to add anything with the whole Evander Kane ordeal. I know I've been a little bit emotional about that, and Sam and Omar have been able to speak their piece.
Yeah. I mean, I just 100% agree with everything Sam and Omar said. I guess I'll just add, I think that he's had enough chances, I would say. There comes a time, I feel like, where you can't justify the pros on the ice with all of the negativity surrounding a player off the ice. It just becomes too much. It becomes distracting. And it's not good for the league. It's not good for the sport. It's not good for just the people around Evander Kane and the people just involved in this entire situation. And so I think we've reached that point now. And, you know, I would say that he's had 100% for me personally enough chances.
I don't even know what the Sharks can even do with his contract. I was kind of trying to do a quick bit of research before we started here, and I don't even think they could terminate his contract. They're kind of just stuck with Evander Kane. Yeah, I didn't look too deep into it. There's like a big headline on a website somewhere that was saying that the Sharks are essentially kind of stuck with Evander Kane. But if you see some of the comments that have already come out from some of the players, they've already kind of moved on from Evander Kane it being in their space. And I would assume that if he when he returns from this suspension, it's going to be, if he somehow is allowed back in that locker room, things are going to be pretty awkward. Like, could you imagine if you had a guy like that in your locker room who has seemingly pissed off everyone to every turn, you get to go play how many games without him? And hey, maybe the dressing room is a lot lighter. Maybe it reflects a lot better on your results. Maybe the San Jose Sharks end up having a respectable record after 21 games. And then Evander Kane comes back. Like, what does that do? If you're in that locker room, like, I wouldn't want to play with that guy again.
Yeah. Especially if you or someone, you know, has been touched by what's been going on the last 2 years, right? You've already heard multiple stories of players currently who can't play anymore because of complications from COVID-19, and now you see this player who walked around with a fake vaccination card going into different places, right? We don't know what his status was. We don't know if he was contributing to anything, right? So it definitely is. It's tough to be able to look at him and say, like, yeah, for sure, we'll welcome you back into the locker room, welcome you back as a teammate, as a friend, whatever you want to say, knowing what he did. So to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if the San Jose Sharks try to find some way to either, I don't know, terminate the deal, or maybe like do some, like, we'll put you on LTIR or whatever and just make you sit for the season and try to maybe trade you in some way, shape or form. But I don't even know what team would even try to pick that up, because then you're kind of getting into a conversation that happens a lot in hockey where it's like, okay, can you separate the player from the person and yada yada. But like, it seems like something like this is kind of, there's a line, and I feel like the line has been leaped over. So who knows?
Yeah.
I thought his statement where he was like, I made a mistake, was just laughable. Like,
yeah, like
the number of times players in this league use the word mistake to cover things like sexual assault, taking non-consensual photos of a sexual partner, faking a vaccination card, which is a felony. Like those aren't mistakes. There's an intent there. Like a mistake is you have too many men on the ice. You like took a dumb penalty. That's a mistake. This is not a mistake. This is a choice.
Yeah, no, I think Evander Kane's only mistake is that he didn't make the fake vaccination passport believable enough. I think that was, in his eyes, his only mistake, because I mean, who is he even kidding? Like, who are you even trying to fool? Unbelievable.
And that's a fair point too. I mean, now you have me thinking, like, this vaccine, I mean, it's still kind of strange to me that the States has it where you could essentially just kind of, it's like a piece of paper and you write in, like, you could just write in like the amount of times you got vaccinated or whatever. Like, there's no QR codes, as far as I understand. Like, I mean, I think everyone in Canada has some form of QR code or app as a vaccination passport. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to get into a whole thing of politics and all that, but I just think the fact that Evander Kane was dumb enough to try this is worthy of scorn and worthy of being punished for. And Rehef brings up a really good point. Like, the fact that he wasn't even able to get away with that, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, we spent enough time on Evander Kane. We spent enough time being serious on the podcast, which we are able to do on some time. The rest of the stuff that we'll talk about on this week's episode will be a bit more fun, I promise. We'll start off with a bit of a vibe check. We don't have to do this every week, but considering the fact that we've got at least three different NHL markets represented, Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, I figured it'd be cool, you know, after the first few games of the year, just kind of do a little bit of a vibe check with everybody and their respective teams, the team I cover and everyone else's fandoms obviously being acknowledged here. How are the vibes, I guess, in Toronto? Clearly off of what Omar was going off with Michael Bunting, they can't be that bad.
I mean, no, I wouldn't say it's bad, but I think the overall vibe is somewhere between meh, it's like people not necessarily caring, or finding something to get angry about. I think Mitch Marner's continuing to trend every single day because he's not getting that many points. Right, he is looking better, but everyone's trying to find reasons to complain about him and rip on him and stuff. So it's either that or just right? And I think that was kind of what we're gonna expect the entire season, because not everyone is going to be as dialed into what's going on. Right, the team could have shredded the Sens and the Habs, and I think people would still have that same reaction as to, right. Face the Rangers, get goalied, right? Everyone's saying, oh, the OT was great. That was a sick.
That was a great OT, by the way. That was like almost like 3 minutes of just like amazing back and forth, end to end play. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you want to hear something funny?
Sure.
I knew they were going to lose. And that is what it means to be a Leafs fan. When I saw that Rangers goalie make all those saves, despite what Jack Campbell did, I was like, well, 1 point is cool.
Especially after the Austin Matthews shots. It's like, after Austin misses the empty net, it's like, okay, there's no way we're winning this. Like, the Leafs do not work like that. The universe and the Leafs do not, those two things don't go together. So,
Rehef, you capture it perfectly, because in hockey, there are rules. Right, there are established things that take place. If a team starts off the game and they're getting shelled, the shots are like 10-1, and their goalie's making save after save after save. What usually happens? Breakaway happens. Other team scores. They get a little momentum. They win the game. Right? It does not happen in Toronto. The rules do not apply to us. There's a glitch in the matrix. There's a glitch in the system. I don't know what we did, but the rules do not apply to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, when Austin Matthews looked great, he had 8 shot attempts or something?
16 shot attempts, 8 16, shots on goal. Yes.
That's an incredible. Unbelievable. Doesn't score.
Coming off of a surgery, he was incredible.
Exactly. First game back, looks great, right? Jack Campbell looks solid. Leafs fans are cheering soup. It's awesome. It's cool.
That was a cool chant.
I knew they were going to lose. I knew it. And then once overtime hits, and then Matthews had the empty net, and Nylander did a sick dangle. Jack Campbell had that incredible save. I was waiting.
It was a really good save.
Oh, and you know it was going to be Panarin too. Just from the amount of times on the broadcast they kept bringing up the fact that Panarin hasn't scored in so long. He's only passing the puck. He's not getting any. I think he had like no shots or something, or maybe like two shots mm-hmm. in the first few games of the season for him. So you just know, like, you know, it's like when a player plays their first game in the NHL against the Leafs, you know they're going to score a goal.
Yep.
There's things in the script against the Toronto Maple Leafs that must be checked. And yeah, this game is a perfect example.
Yep. They just can't lose. That's one thing that I've accepted about the Leafs. They just can't lose, right? You know what I mean? Like, teams lose games, right? They just lose the game and that's it. But the Leafs, they just can't lose. There always has to be something, some oomph to it, you know? Like, oh, this is the first time that a team did this, or this is the first time that a team did that, or, oh, this is a kid from Scarborough who played his first game against the Leafs. They just can't lose. So, yes,
you know what I've heard?
Yeah.
The perfect analogy of what you're saying is, like, you know, in a Disney movie,
yep.
like a Disney sports movie, when yep. there's like, you know, the good team, the one that's, you know, the underdogs that you know are going to win, or they're going to do something miraculous. And then there's like the other team. The Leafs are always just the other team.
Yep. We're the team that faces Air. Like, you know those Air Bud movies? We're the other team. Team brings up the golden retriever. They're like, oh my God, what? They have a golden retriever. We're going to win this game. We're that team. That's the Leafs every single time. So, yeah, that's the vibe check. I think we're neutral, but at the same time, there is still some apprehension.
I thought this was going to be a lot happier of a vibe check than a therapy session.
We're Leaf fans. Are you kidding? Yeah.
Listen, man, I've ordered some things off of Amazon. Do you know what the box was? On the box printed the Leafs documentary all over the box. I can't escape it. The season starts and they're talking about Sheldon Keefe's speech on the broadcast. Why?
This is our time.
Like, just let me live. Let me be happy. We couldn't call
off. You have Michael Bunting.
You have Michael Bunting.
I do have Michael Bunting.
He's
and
like
then
the
front runner
for the Calder.
I mean, hey. That is possible. And that would be sweet. Unless we do nothing in the playoffs, then it will not be sweet. It will just be sad. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Sam, how are the Canucks doing?
I feel like it's the opposite of the Leafs. Like, I feel like Omar said it, the vibes are neutral, but for whatever reason, the vibes seem to be really positive, and I don't understand why they're 1-1.
Positivity in Vancouver? Perish the thought.
They're 1-1-1. They're in third place behind Edmonton and Anaheim. Like, I guess they've looked okay.
Anaheim?
They've looked pretty good.
Yeah, what the hell is Anaheim's doing second. There?
Anaheim, don't look. Hey, don't sleep on Anaheim. Mason McTavish. The rest of the boys over there.
We slept on Anaheim. Do you not remember our podcast last week? We shat on Anaheim.
I didn't think they'd be good.
I didn't think they'd be good either. They might still not be. No, they might be. They still might be trash. But hey, they're off to a winning start at least.
I mean, they're not bad in the Pacific, which really says nothing at all.
That's true. That's also
very true. Look, they're not bad. They could be the Montreal Canadiens who, by the time you guys all get this, they will still have a losing record. And like the first three games of the year, they had 3 goals. Like, Jonathan Drouin is their best player, which is good, is very good considering what he's gone through. Mm-hmm. But nothing from Cole Caulfield to this point. I mean, again, this podcast maybe. Hey, you know what would be funny? If I start going out on the Canadiens and then like,
and they
Cole
just
Caulfield
like win,
like
they
trick.
Win like 7-0.
So funny. So I'm like, oh hey, things are better now. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure a lot of people are. I've seen people just be like, oh, this team is. I knew this team was going to be bad. This is going to be brutal. Imagine when Jesperi Kotkaniemi comes on Thursday, and if they still lose, what's going to happen? Oh my God! Like.
I would have expected in Vancouver, and that's not what's happening. People are like, hey, this team looks good. I'm like, do they look good though? Like, I don't know why people. The vibes are really great in Vancouver, despite the fact that they are 1-1-1, and they still don't have Travis Hamonic. He's been placed on a temporary leave of absence, and no one really knows what's happening. But the vibes are good. Can't explain it.
I mean, Thatcher's pretty good.
Yeah.
Thatcher is good.
OEL doesn't look like, doesn't look bad. Is he looks okay.
OEL and Garland have looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're getting some magic, right? That Philly game.
Yeah.
Can you tell me there's Disney all over that game. Pettersson scored a goal by accident. I watched that game and I was like, wait, how did that go? And then they did the behind the goalie camera. And I was like, no way. Right.
It right? was Carter Hart.
Right. Oh, Carter. Oof. Oh,
man. Hey, he rebounded against the Kraken the other night. There's still hope for Carter Hart.
Can you say that question? Say that sentence one more time.
It was Carter Hart.
He rebounded against who?
Oh,
the Seattle Kraken.
So we're gonna use a rebound against an expansion team as ways to be like, okay, everything's better now, or everything's okay now.
Look, take wins wherever you could get them in the National Hockey League, man. Oh, take them where God. You could get them. I'm sorry. Like, Carter Hart needs anything to get himself going and not be down in the dumps this year. Like, come on. Like, even if it's against Seattle. And remember, we're not talking about the expansion teams of, like, the 2000s where, like, you know, they're expected to just suck. Like, the Seattle Kraken are expected to be at least somewhat decent. And they're in the Pacific. Like, they have a chance.
Yeah, that's true. They're actually not bad. That was an unwarranted chirp. They're actually a decent team.
That's some bitterness.
Man,
okay.
Bitterness. Look at me. I'm waiting 17 years for my freaking team to win a freaking playoff round. I scream bitterness. I'm so desperate for water that literally I would rob a pool and just like drink the water right out of the pool. My NaCl levels are high. Pure salt, nothing else.
You should stay tuned, Omar, because I got a couple questions that I think you might enjoy. I'll just mention this about the Montreal Canadiens before we move on to that. One other thing I didn't mention is that Mark Bergevic could be going to LA, and I don't know if that's actually going to happen.
Can we talk about that? So, like, sure, as far as like being a GM or like for a president or something, or just like
I don't know. Here's what I will say about this whole situation. So for context, there was a tidbit in a Larry Brooks column, the famous New York Post columnist, where he kind of mentioned that, you know, don't be surprised if there are any links to Mark Bergevin, the current Montreal Canadiens general manager, and the Los Angeles Kings. Their president is Luc Robitaille. And I forgot who told me this, but I think their GM, Rob Blake, is in the final year of his contract as well. I mean, look, I don't know if it's legit. I don't know if it's just a convenient leak out there because maybe Mark Bergevin wants more money, but also considering the market that he's been in for the last 9 years compared to LA, I don't know about you, but doing a sejour in LA for work, it ain't.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
That bad.
I mean, not
that bad.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, I know it. I know I what you know. Did there. I know what you did there. I know exactly what you did there.
But
that was very good.
Thank you. I tried. I think. See. If we're talking about the idea of Bergevin leaving, because I was like, my question was, if it gets so bad in Montreal, like, do they get to a point where they just say, you know, screw the season, let's just tank?
I've thought about that too.
The draft is in Montreal this year, right?
It is.
So, like, if there's ever a moment to get a top five pick, then why not do it on home soil, right?
And also, if the team really goes off the cliff, why not just start as soon as you can with a new general manager, right? Mm-hmm. But then the next question is who that next general manager could be. And well, that brings up a whole bunch of other issues. But yeah, the vibes in Montreal right now are, I think it's a bit of a letdown. A lot of people, I think, thought, you know what? They knew they lost a lot of blood from the offseason, but I don't think people expected it to be this bad. Or I guess it depends on who you talk to. There are some people who saw this coming, but there are a few other people. I don't think they saw it coming this badly. And again, I realize that by the time this all goes out, maybe they'll have a win to their tally. Maybe they'll be 0-4. Maybe they'll still only have 3-4 to their tally. The vibes are just, when you lose to Buffalo, like, you can't really puff out your chest to anybody.
Yes, that's true. We lose to Buffalo a lot.
Yeah, but, we know how that goes.
Game loss.
Yeah, but like 5-1 or 6-2
should be a live stream.
Yeah.
Well, we're losing. Loss. That outdoor game in March. As soon as they announce the opponent, I'm like loss. That game against Florida, loss. You know why? Joe Thornton, loss.
Are y'all going to Hamilton for this outdoor game? It's in Hamilton,
so I can pay money to watch the Leafs lose in person. No, I'll pass. I went to that.
Losing in Hamilton sucks.
I went to that.
yes.
So one of the Leafs' most famous losses was when they lost 9-2 to Nashville.
One of them.
I had a choice to pick two games. I had tickets to either buy the Nashville game or the next day where they faced Tampa. Now, my thought process was Tampa's a good team. And Nashville, they're a good defensive at the time. I want to say Barry Trotz is still the coach at the time, right? But they can't score goals. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to go to the Nashville game, watch them win, and then I'll watch them lose at home to Tampa. And Lord almighty, it was 8-1 at the beginning of the third period. The person was like, hey, do you want a beer? They were like, how much is it? He's like, $15. I was like, give me two. It was, man, Jesus. I paid money to watch them get wrecked. Freaking Taylor Beck or whatever the heck his name was scored two goals. Someone asked me who's Taylor Beck. I'm like, I don't know. Like, oh.
I'll say this. I say I remember the game. I remember, like, the fallout. Like, some dude got famous off that game. Steve Dangle, right?
Yeah, that. Also, someone
I don't know who that is
on the ice, and they ran away. Yeah, someone ran and whipped their jersey on the ice, and then ran away, and then the security chased them. It was hilarious.
Oh, man.
I'm like, don't do that. You paid for it. Don't do that.
Okay. All right. So let's hope for your sake you don't ever have to live through a 9-2 debacle ever again. Or hey, maybe it'll be fun for the memes. Anyway. The last segment we'll have for this week's edition of Zone Time. I tried to come up with some game. It's kind of like a would you rather thing, but I don't have a good enough name for it aside from would you do this? And basically, we're all hockey fans here. You know, maybe we're all into our, I don't really have a team, but you know, we're all into our respective teams and we're diehard fans. We do anything we'd want for our teams. Would we go so far as to do, I guess, any of these scenarios that I have presented in front of you guys? This one's for the Leafs fans here. So imagine the Toronto Maple Leafs. They break their 17-year curse of not making it past the first round of the playoffs. But Austin Matthews has to join the Arizona Coyotes as an unrestricted free agent. Would you do this?
Okay. I have some questions for you for this.
Sure. Okay. Go ahead.
Question number one. We make it past the first round. How far are we going? Are you saying we win the Stanley Cup? Or is it just we win the first round?
You win the first round. It is not determined whether you win the second round or whether you win a third round or whether you win a Stanley Cup. You just get past the first round.
Nope.
Okay, and everything else after that could be up in the air. It could be anything.
Question number two. Is Austin Matthews on the team when we make it past the first round? Or do we give him to Arizona so that we can make it past the first round the following year?
That's a very good question. You know what?
Julian wasn't expecting this.
I did not expect that question. No, that's a very good question because Austin Matthews could easily leave as a UFA and then the Leafs all of a sudden can get past the first round.
Can we stop putting into the universe, please?
Yeah. Here, let me just answer my question for you. The answer is no, I would not do this.
I agree. No.
It's not happening because the Leafs winning the first round does not mean winning the Stanley Cup. And so I would not put it past the Leafs to then
lose
miserably in the second round. And so for me, that's not worth it. I would rather watch the person. This is so sad to say, but I would rather the Leafs keep Austin Matthews. And I would rather just watch Austin Matthews in all of his glory, even if the Leafs continue to not make it past the first round, then have them make it past the first round once. Maybe they win a cup. And then never get to see Austin Matthews play for the Toronto Maple Leafs again. No,
you love Matthews that much, like
yes,
like what, like what if the Leafs like what if the Leafs like make it to a Stanley Cup final?
What if they make it?
I don't have faith in the Toronto Maple Leafs to do that, especially without Austin Matthews.
But here's the thing. Okay, so let's play with that idea, Julian. What if we do it? So Matthews goes to Arizona, and then the Leafs make it to the Stanley Cup final. You know who we're facing in the Stanley Cup final? The Arizona Coyotes. And you know who's going to light us up? Austin Matthews. And then
It's the Arizona Coyotes?
1,000%. Because it's the Leafs, man. Because it's the Leafs. That's why.
Austin Matthews and Louis Erickson.
I am telling you. Oh, my God. It'll be just the straight up, this. It'll be a 2-on-1. And no, even better. It'll be a 2-on-1. Matthews and Erickson. Erickson will pass it to Matthews. We think he was going to shoot, but he'll pass it back to Erickson. There, Stanley Cup winning goal. I think I would quit hockey. I'd be done. I'd be done at that point.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. The only thing that would make it better or worse, or what were you going to say?
I was just going to say the only thing that would make it worse is if the Stanley Cup winning goal would come because of a Travis Dermott turnover in his own zone.
The whole thing is perfect. So this will happen because Matthews is gone. We need a new left shot on the power play. So that season we re-sign Galchenyuk. In that game, Galchenyuk does his little backhandy spin thing, but Dermott picks it up. It's fine. And then Dermott does a little backhand spinny thing. And then it goes to Erickson. And then back to Matthews. And then back to Erickson. And then they score. And then on in Toronto. It will happen in Toronto. It'll be like a game six or whatever. And then the confetti falls. And then Austin Matthews raises the Stanley Cup because he'll be the captain. Captain, Stanley Cup champion at Scotiabank Arena. And
how do you dream up all these horrible scenarios?
What do you mean, how do I dream them up? Listen to me. The Toronto Maple Leafs are the embodiment of Murphy's Law. Whatever can happen, will happen. Whatever can go wrong, will go wrong. Do you the whole offseason, we're talking about, will Jack Campbell and Peter Mrazek be a good enough tandem? Both of them have injury problems, but it's okay. If they don't get injured, then they'll be fine. His first game, he gets injured. And then we don't have any cap space to call someone up. So we have to call up a tryout person. So the whole game, I'm watching Jack Campbell. I'm like, he's going to get hurt. And then what happens? He gets run into. I'm like, okay, there it is. Bishop's going to go in. Then we're going to get lit up. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong, man. So to answer your question, no, I will not take that. I would rather watch Austin Matthews be the best player ever, best Leaf ever, and then maybe the odds are that they wanted to, that they win around. But I guarantee if we do this deal, Matthews leaves, we win around, we get swept the next round. I guarantee it. So I'll take Matthews.
Okay. All right. How about this one? The Vancouver Canucks turn into a Stanley Cup contending team. Hey, maybe they even get a Stanley Cup in their future. That means at every possible opportunity, you have to say that Jim Benning is the best GM. Like on this podcast, like literally, like we'll be like, hey, Sam Chang of the broadcast is here. Jim Benning is the best GM in the league. Like you have to admit that Jim Benning is actually a good general manager. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying that, you know.
I have a lot of questions. My first question is, are they a contending team or do they have the Stanley Cup?
They're a contending team. They could win the Stanley Cup. There's a really good chance they could. If you're in, we look, the Montreal Canadiens showed us, if you're in it, you have a chance. You're thinking about this.
I'm thinking about this. The percentage chance makes a big difference, right? Like if your theory is anyone who makes it in could win it, that is literally Jim's philosophy. He has said that is his plan. Like, we just want to make the playoffs because anything can happen. So if that's the scenario you're giving me, no, because I think that's a stupid plan.
Okay. But does contender mean you know, top five team in the league?
Yeah.
Because that's what I think like a contender means. So
Yeah.
If Jim Benning can turn this team into a top five team in the league, yeah, I would say that. I mean, it's about as credible as like the GM awards every year anyway.
Those
Lou Lamoriello, reigning winner. He didn't have more first place votes than Mark Bergevin, but still, it means a lot to him, I'm sure.
Jim Benning was like top 10 in votes for that like 2 years ago. So yeah, I'll say that. It's not like you actually have to mean it.
What the heck? You know, man, the GM award and the Jack Adams need to be completely just like redone, because they are not awarded to they don't follow their definition. They're both, we thought your team would be bad, but it's not award, right? Yeah, Every year.
So. Remember that thing, there was like a point where remember Patrick Waugh, I think, won the Jack Adams award.
He did.
It used to be a kiss of death. Like, you would win it, and then if you, next year you just sucked, you got fired. It used to be a kiss of death for coaches.
Yeah, man. That
Holy
first
crap, game, Patrick he, Waugh won a Jack Adams award.
Yeah, he pushed the glass around. He pulled his goalie with 8 minutes left, and they were like, "Hey,
oh my God,
that's a coach.
Genius.
That's a coach right there."
We let Patrick Waugh win the Coach of the Year award in the NHL.
yeah, man. It's on his resume, right?
Oh, like
it's,
man.
That's why it's the thought process of hockey people are hilarious, because like Sam's point is so true. And here's the thing. All it takes is one example, right? So Jim Benning and Mark Bergevin, they have the same mentality. Just get in and you never know what's going to happen. Even though there's only like a couple of examples of it actually working. St. Louis winning the cup was the worst thing that happened to the league. Worst.
Oh my God. That's the
worst thing. Because they were last place in January, and then they steamroll, make the playoffs, win the cup. Worst thing that could have happened, because now everyone has that mentality. Just get in. And then last year, the Montreal Canadiens, right? What? I think as far as the league ratings, they're 18th in the league. Make the playoffs, make the final. So all these other teams, right? They're like, you know what? Mark Bergevin right now is probably like, don't worry about it. We're fine. We're okay. Look what happened last year. We're 18th. It's cup final. You're fine. It's okay. Relax.
Yeah. Right? I think of a team like the LA Kings, who we think of the mini dynasty they had in the 2010s. That started off of a run where they were the eighth seed.
Man, that was disgusting. Right. Holy.
That was insane.
Was 2012 the first? Well, it was when they reverse swept San Jose. Oh, 2012. That was such a fun playoff run, man. Oh,
that was fun.
So fun to watch. Good times.
Okay. I got one.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything if you say it. Mm-hmm. I can say it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would just be more funny just because I know how you feel. About that's the only reason why.
If he could actually get this team from where he has them now after 8 years to being a top five team, yeah, he might have had a like dramatic personality shift or like a lobotomy. But yeah, then I would acknowledge he's in fact a good GM.
Damn. Okay, I got this one. Okay. So this one actually is a bit more general, and your team actually wins the Stanley Cup here. We don't have to worry if they're a contender or not. Your favorite team wins the Stanley Cup, but you're not allowed to watch them at all. You're not allowed to watch them in person. You're not allowed to watch them on TV. You're not allowed to watch them on some like random stream that has the game. You're not allowed to even, you know, walk by like a restaurant and the game's on the TVs and you're trying to like peer in. You cannot watch any minute of your favorite team. But they go on to win
after they win or during the run,
like during the whole thing, like you're not allowed to watch them, and like not even like, oh, they win the cup, you can watch it back. Like, you're just not allowed, like from this day forward, from the day you say yes, you're not allowed to watch them at all.
But I know that they won.
You, I mean, you will know that they won, I guess, but you can't watch it, you can't enjoy it.
but I will know that they won.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I? Yeah. Can I talk to other people about it? Can I go to the parade?
Yes. 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 I'm taking that deal. 1,000%. No hesitation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just easily. Like, so you can't enjoy.
I like watch half the Canucks games by just reading Twitter anyway.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't consume, like, you can't watch them, like, consume content and be all like, oh, well, I can't watch the games, but I'm like, I'm up to speed. Like they can't really be a part of your life. You just happen to hear that they won the cup.
Yeah, I'll take that. As long as I know that I can say that the Toronto Maple Leafs won a Stanley Cup in a year that was within this century, I'll take that deal.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
I'm taking that.
As weird as that sounds, and again, it just speaks to the damage. It just speaks to the damage, the collapse.
A whole diatribe about how much y'all love Austin Matthews. You're making me
rethink it, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not rethinking anything. I know.
Like you're not allowed to watch Austin Matthews. You're not allowed to watch Mitch Marner.
I can't watch William Nylander score the
Stanley Cup. No, you can't watch him. You can't even watch Michael Bunting. You can't watch
Michael Bunting. That's a low blow. We didn't have to bring up Michael Bunting. Okay, we didn't need to do that. But you know what?
I can't watch Austin Matthews being awarded the Conn Smythe.
No, half the fun of these playoff runs is cheering for your team and seeing them go through all these moments, and then they win the Stanley Cup. Like,
yeah, that's what the hell? I take it back. It's not worth it.
Thank you.
If I don't
make some sense.
No,
I take it back. I take it back.
Here's the thing.
That's unspiteful. If I don't get to watch it, it doesn't get to happen.
Here's the thing, okay?
Yes, right.
In most hero stories, there's always the hero that does the right thing but doesn't need the acknowledgement.
Oh, my God.
So I can go off in my life knowing that the Toronto Maple Leafs won a Stanley Cup because of me.
Do you just liken yourself to a hero, Omar?
Yes. I would 100% be a hero. I would 100% be a hero. I sacrificed watching hockey for the Toronto Maple Leafs to win the Stanley Cup.
This is the deal.
You ain't slick for that sale.
You cannot watch, and then because of your sacrifice, we'll win, and then I can watch.
That's fine.
I won't take the deal.
Again, as long as I know what I did, and I know that the Toronto Maple Leafs have won the Stanley Cup, I'll take that.
But like, Omar, in your case, like, you can't gif about the game. Sorry to Yahoo, but in the mentions, it's kind of hard for you to do that show if you're just like, yeah, I didn't watch the Leafs.
You'd probably be so much happier.
Yeah, that's actually a very fair point.
It's like, I'd be so much happier if I didn't watch this team.
Yeah, that's actually a very fair point. Your mental health would improve by leaps and bounds. That's actually enough.
Thanos said, man, the greatest sacrifice is take the greatest wills. And I'm willing to make that sacrifice for the city, for the people. The people need a championship. You see it. There are people who literally wear t-shirts that say, just one before I die. I could give them that one. And all I have is a sacrifice, not watching the team. That's fine.
Are you one of those people who want the Toronto Maple Leafs at your funeral so they could let you down one last time?
Damn.
I think Julian came up with this whole game just so he could use that line.
No.
written in the corner. You've been waiting a long time to use that one, right, Julian? You made a whole show around that line.
This is admittedly the closest I've...
Oh, my God. Damn, that's sad.
This is the closest I will ever get to hosting a Toronto Maple Leafs podcast, I guess.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, so you're really going to Thanos this and be like, yep. I did it. At what cost? But at what cost? Yep. Everything.
Literally. Yo, Thanos looked his daughter in the eye and chucked her off the cliff.
Yo, that scene? Yo, the feels? Anyway, we don't need to turn this into the Avengers podcast, but that scene, that's brutal as hell. Like, ruthless. All he that denied, for one common goal.
I denied my destiny once. I will not do it again. Who knows? Maybe in some other universe, another version of me got that same offer and didn't do it. And that is why the team is cursed.
The multiverse.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe in another universe.
It all comes down to Omar.
It is. Yeah. I'm the key. That's so narcissistic. I'm sorry. That's so narcissistic. Anyway. All right.
I think we've inflated Omar's ego enough. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Zone Time. Thanks for playing with this this game I came up with just randomly. It actually worked out a lot better than I thought it would. Subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, so the Yahoo Sports NHL YouTube page, and our feed as well, pretty much wherever you get podcasts. You can listen to this on audio form, visual form, and we promise you'll enjoy it. And if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, I don't know, you'll feel some hope, maybe. If you're a Canucks fan, you don't feel any pain. If you're a Canadiens fan, you're probably feeling a lot of pain. And don't worry, Edmonton and Winnipeg and all the other Canadian markets and Ottawa, will acknowledge you again on a future episode someday, I think.
Some point.
Yeah.
Maybe. Bye, guys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.